Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Track World News Podcast. It has felt like a lifetime since we've been able to do one of these things. So thank you all for your patience. Felt it was only necessary to bring it back during this amazing Olympic year that we have going on. For those that are watching us on YouTube, thank you for joining. For those that are listening around the world on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those platforms, thank you for joining. This rendition, it's going to be a little bit different. Last time, it was just me talking to all of y'all. Today, we have an esteemed guest that is going to be joining us throughout our entire lifetime of this Track World News Podcast. Many of you may know his name and seen his face. We have Noah Williams of LSU, NCAA indoor 400-meter champion, NCAA champion in the men's 4x100, personal best of 44.3. Three in the 400 meters, and also a member of the 2022 Indoor World Championship team. Mr. Noah Williams, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, appreciate you, Colin. That was a cool introduction, man. I'm just excited to be a part of the show. Thanks for everybody that's tuning in, man. Let's start it off with some fire, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Exciting stuff to get going here. So we might as well get started with a world record. Why not? So we had some crazy stuff going down this past weekend. So Mondo Duplantis of LSU, Noah knows of the school way too well, jumps a new world record with 6.24 meters, which is 20 feet, 5.6 inches. This is now the eighth time that he has broken the world record since February of 2020. Noah, what else does this guy have to do? I feel like he's just on another world right now.
He's in another realm. He's in a world of his own. I don't think anybody's ever broken a world record in any event that many times. And him to be only 24 years old is really like, it's just crazy. You know, you guys, like, what more could he have to do? But if he could just continue this dominance and be that prominent face that's constantly doing incredible things, it would just be huge for the sport. But big ups to Mondo, bro. It's ridiculous watching him, but it's awesome.
It's so weird because, so for those that don't know, with the pole vault and with high jump, it's different, like, when you're doing world records, because, like, for, if you're doing long jump, you can't just, like, try to just beat it by a little bit, like, where in the pole vault, like, you can pick exactly where this world record's going to be. So he's breaking these world records by, like, 1 centimeter, so he keeps getting that world record attempt versus, like, in the 100 or the 400, you can't just be like, all right, let me just try to beat this by 0.01. And so he's breaking this all the time. He has, like, tons of space on this bar where he could just continue to dominate. But it's, like you said, it's complete domination. Like, he's in that realm right now, I think, of Usain Bolt, of just, like, where he's coming in and it's, all right, who's going to get second place? Like, I'm getting first. Y'all decide who getting second. Like, him, Ryan Crouser, Usain Bolt, like, they're all in that same realm right now of who's getting second in whatever competition we got going on.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. As a viewer, as a somebody who gets to witness it, you know, it's definitely something to be grateful for. It's not going to come around often, but, you know, it's special, man. And he's so young. Like, I can't get over how young he is, too. So the energy that he brings is dope, and, you know, who knows how high he's going to get it to. But like you said, he has that, he knows where, you know what I'm saying? He knows what he's about to attempt every time he does it. And he knows what he can clear. So it'll be exciting to see what he does.
Yeah. Forward. And on the first meet of the year too, just like, yeah, opening up with the world record. I was like, there's no way. And yeah, just dude's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, it's incredible, man.
I was diving in trying to find some stats. There'll be those wild, like, Michael Jordan or LeBron James stats where, like, that can't be real. There's no way that's accurate. We have some Mondo Duplantis stats for you as well. So if you were to go, you take a look at the best jumps of all time for the pole vault. So you just take every single jump that's been, you know, who's where. Mondo Duplantis, since 2015, has all 21 of the best pole vaults of all time since 2014. By the way, he started that in 2018. He didn't get onto the list until 2018. And so his, just like, the dominance that he's been having in this sport is ridiculous. That you have the top 21 since 2014. The only other person would have been the previous world record holder, Renaud Lavillenie, who was in 2014. So it's just like he's in a completely different realm right now, where like what he was what he's doing right now, if people could jump like 6 meters once, it was like, yo, you're an all-time great. And now it's just like, this is just, you're just getting started with him now, which is ridiculous.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Like, what he's doing isn't regular. That is ridiculous too. But like,
insane.
Bro, it's just, you know, we're witnessing greatness. You know what I'm saying? It's, we're witnessing greatness. It's just equivalent to a LeBron James or a Tiger Woods or a Usain Bolt. You know, it's just, yeah, it's amazing to marvel at.
So what else, like, do you think he has to do to then to be considered like, hey, he is now the greatest track and field athlete of all time? I think rightfully so. Usain Bolt is the greatest track and field athlete. Like, what else does he have to do to be like, no, he is the greatest. He is now better than Usain Bolt. I feel it's going to be difficult, but I think there's a path for him to do that.
It'll definitely be difficult. And I think that for the majority of like track fans and casual track fans, it'll be even harder to give him the crown. You know, say he wins the Olympics this year, goes and wins Worlds, and wins the following Olympics in 28. I mean, then his case is like, this dude never lost for 12 years, you know, won every major championship for 12 years, broke the world record numerous of times. Then it would be like a legit, like, okay, like Mondo is the greatest. But it's the pole vault, right? And I don't want to talk down on the pole vault or anything like that, but Bolt was able to run three events, you know, so we get to see him more. We get to, you know, witness his greatness three times to Mondo's once. And he did it, you know, obviously for a long time on the biggest stages. So it has to be something around maybe even like the marketing of how he's doing this, you know, because he's doing just to do his jump, to celebrate, do his rock star spew. And then that's kind of it. You know, I don't know how much more he can build outside of that one performance that he does, you know?
Yeah. It's, I remember seeing some clips of him, like he was even running the 100, like, of course, obviously if you're this great at the pole, like you're good at other things. Like he was running the 100 in high school, triple jumping like 50 feet or whatever. So it's like, he's a crazy athlete, not to the level of like, he wouldn't be able to like medal in these triple jumps or 100, but still like crazy athlete. Like, yeah, I think like you said, if he can defend his pole vault, he has to defend his title, I think, at least two more times in the Olympics. So he's got to win this year's Olympics. He's got to win in L.A. And ideally, like, I think if he could then go to the next one. So if he can get four Olympic wins, so then he has got, geez, what would that be? From 2021 until, what, 2032? That would be, like, I think if he does that, like, it's over. There's no chance. I feel like he's 100% better. Like, for me, I mean, he's pretty close. Like, this is what he got. So he's already got 8 world records that he's broken. He's one-time Olympic champion, 4-time world champion, 1-time silver medalist at Worlds, 2-time European champion. So it's like, it's the world records are there, but he doesn't have the championships yet, and that just is because he's young. But mm-hmm. I think if he continues these championships, it's gonna be a no-brainer. I feel
it'll be definitely, you know, splitting hairs with Bolt, like, yeah, no question, you know, no, yeah, question about it.
So he's got a chance. He can do it. It's just gonna be close, I feel.
I never would have thought that, like, you know, the GOAT is Bolt, right? I never would have thought that, like, the next contending GOAT would be a pole vaulter. Like I said, there's no shade to pole vault, but, like, damn, he's that good that he commands the respect. Like, he commands respect every time he performs. Like, it's a season opener, bro. How do you break the record in your first meet of the year? It's crazy.
He's like, whether you like it or not, y'all going to respect – you going to respect this jumper, man. You going to respect this.
You have no choice.
He's way into the conversation. Yeah.
Have no choice. So it's ridiculous. All the respect to Mondo, man. We'll see if he gets in that GOAT debate. He already probably, like, you know, top 5, top 7.
Yeah, no, I got him there. He's gonna be close. He's right up in that top 5, top 7, I feel like, because he's, you got like Usain Bolt, obviously, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce in there. You know, you probably got, you know, you could probably put Carl Lewis or something like that. Ryan Krauser, I feel, is on that list. Like, there's, we can do it. We can do a whole list at another time. We didn't brainstorm the who the top 10 athletes. We'll have that, I'm sure. But he's up there. He's up there. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's up there.
All right. Then next, we'll stick with the LSU theme a little bit. So we had a all the way in. Oh well, at the same same meet, we had Tori Lewis of Australia. So she actually got her first Diamond League victory, just 19 years old. In the 200 with a time of 22.96, she was able to outlean Sha'Carri Richardson at the line with the time of 22.99. So something that I didn't know, I guess it makes sense because they're in the Southern Hemisphere, but Australia, she just came off of her national championship last week. And so I'm seeing a bunch of people online being like, oh, like this is, you know, we have to start worrying. I got, like, you lost to this. Be like, hold up. She had her national championship last week because, you know, the seasons are, you know, inverse and she's in the Southern Hemisphere. Great run. But I don't think there's much to worry about here. Is there anything really to, or people just like kind of yelling at clouds with this performance, really?
Kind of yelling at clouds. Definitely an impressive performance. Definitely an athlete to keep an eye on, considering she's only 19 years old. Do I want to put my money that she'll beat Sha'Carri and those other girls like throughout the season? Wouldn't put my money there just yet, but she ran a great race. Like, just to look at it objectively, to look at it for what it was, like, she ran a hell of a race on the outside. And she did her thing, you know, like, big ups to her. But, you know, that whole peaking thing with the national championships, it is a little like wonky. So she's in a different condition than, you know, these other girls. But like I said, man, great race. If you can do it again is a question, but that was a great race.
Yeah, I was seeing, when I was looking at the end of the race, I was like, it looks like some of these people are in their first race. You know, legs were starting to get low. I was like, yeah, you're in a very different part of the training cycle. So, no, I agree. But so is lane nine like the new place to just be? So she beats Sha'Carri out of lane nine. Sha'Carri wins the 100 out of lane nine. Wade Van Niekerk breaks the world record out of lane nine. Is lane nine just an underrated lane? Like, what are your thoughts when you're out there in lane nine when you're racing?
Lane nine is hit or miss because you are in no man's land. So you get that added anxiety of like, I can't let anybody break me on a stagger because, you know, if I do, I'm screwed. But you get that like a little bit of an extra push. So you're in your own race, you're in your own zone. And in a 200, if things go well, you shouldn't really see or feel anybody for at least, I'd say, like 60 meters, 70 meters if you're doing things right. So lane seven could be a gift for those reasons. And, you know, if you can't get out, lane nine might be some trouble for you, you know. But seems like for those three athletes you just mentioned, lane nine is pretty all right for them.
Which what lane would you say is your ideal one? Where if you can pick every race, like, where you're lining up?
I like six. I like lane six. I feel comfortable in lane six or seven because I know, you know, I got some people on my inside that I can feel, but also I want to be able to get a good gauge of where I am, you know, as far as the stagger goes with looking at people from outside. So six or seven for sure.
Six or seven. And so for many of the races, do they just automatically assign you where you're going? Or is it like, hey, if you're at the top, you get to pick and you're picking the lanes? Like, how do they do those?
It's a little bit of both depending on the meet. Something like a Diamond League, I would believe Sha'Carri would have first pick to whatever lane she wanted in that race. Or Sharika, if she was in that race, she would have first pick to whatever lane she wanted. And then it kind of, you know, goes from there. You know, the next medalist or the next most highly accredited athlete would get that pick after, and so on and so forth until the lanes are filled up. So it's kind of how it goes.
Makes sense. All right. Yeah. I would say I've always liked being on the outside. Like, I like I'm just never going to see anyone. If I just keep going, that was what it was like for me. I always loved being like, when we were doing workouts, like, hey, let me lead it off. I don't want to see people. I just want to go. I can see, well, I know why a lot of people hated it. I liked it for the opposite reasons. I was like, all right, let me just not see you. And then if I can do that, I know I'm doing well. So there it is. Let's stick with this, the LSU theme. We got one more. Javon Harrison, roommates, former roommates of Mondo. They were, I think they were roommates back freshman year, which is pretty cool. Jumped new world lead in the high jump with 2.34 meters, 7 feet, 8.1 inches. So, yes, he would be able to clear Victor Wembanyama off of a jump, which is just, when you think about that, ridiculous. You know, Javon, you guys were on the same NCAA team, championship team back with LSU. Let's hear from you. What's your thoughts with this this new jump from him?
Man, Javon is an anomaly. Right? The things he can do on the track are just special. You know, we don't even got to talk about his long jumping ability right now, but he's special, man. I don't want to say I expected him to pop out like that, but I wasn't surprised in the slightest. You know, like talking to Javon and hearing where his mind state is. He's doing really good right now. He's in a really good place. And that bodes really well for him this year, as you can see by what he just did. And it's going to be probably pretty scary for his competitors. I think Javon is a very fiery and fierce athlete. Like he, I don't want to say take things personal, but when he doesn't end on the top of the podium, like he feels it, you know, like he feels it hard. And he uses that stuff to progress himself. And I think this year is going to be very special for Javon. Like, I'm so excited for him. Like, I can't lie.
Yeah. I love his energy after, like, every jump. It's just like, I was watching the clip. It's just, you would think he jumped the world record, like, after every single one. Just, like, going nuts. Like, let's go. Like, come on. Like, firing the crowd up. And it's like, that energy, like, I feel it's got to translate throughout the rest of like your competition, as well as, you know, the competitors and, you know, whoever it is that you're going. I mean, when y'all were competing, you know, with one another, and you're seeing him doing his thing in the long jump or high jump, like, is that firing you up? Like when you're in the warm-up zone or when you're about to get ready for this, you know, the track, like what's it like for that?
It was crazy, man. Javon kind of sets a tone kind of like you were speaking on, and it's infectious. Like, it's hard to pick apart where to, you know, because all of us were elite at LSU. The whole team was elite. But if I had to pinpoint one person that I think sparked it for all of us, it was Javon. Because we would be in the training room. We would be in the treatment room. We would be in class. Like, yeah, bro, I'm about to get more goals than you at SECs. I'm about to get more national championships than you. So it's like, as a competitor, you're like, man, bro, get out of here with that, you know? So he, like, and as soon as he always competed first. You know, jumps are usually the day before the sprint finals. So you see him walking around. He got his two golds on. He's chilling. He's got his dreads out. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, let me step up, you know, because it's not like he's big bro, but it's like when we were in college together, he was like the face of NCAA track and field, you know, Bowerman winner, all of those things. So it's like, man, almost like a let me show him what I could do, too. You know, like, let me show him I'm special, too. You know, so he definitely sets the tone. I think he definitely help all of our performances increase just off of like his own aura, you know, which is special.
Yeah. When you're going by Mr. Jumps, you know, you got something, man. And like, yeah, it's crazy that he's dominant in not just the high jump, but he's just as equally there in the long jump as well, which like we don't see. And so I'm looking forward to, cause I remember after when he won the Bowerman, people were like, so are you just going to focus on one thing? He's like, why would I do that? Like, I'm doing both at the pro level. And then like, it's like, all right, we'll see about that. It's like, oh no, he's not lying. Like he's doing that. Like looking forward to when he's going to open up there and what it's like. Cause I think there's a path for him to win both like Olympic. I think if I had a guess, I would say, I think the high jump probably a little more challenge. There's a couple guys up there that are, you know, that are definitely pretty consistent, but he's been in that like medal contention every single championship he's been at, and very consistent at it as well.
Absolutely, man. Sky's the limit for Javon, bro. He's just a freak athlete. Like, he's a freak athlete, man. I remember we did a 30 meter test in school. You know, we got me on the team, Terrence Laird on the team, you know, Dylan Peebles. Like, our team was stacked, it was loaded, and Javon had the fastest 30.
What? Wait, so no. Wait a minute. You can't just breeze through that. So you're telling me that Javon Harrison, the long jumper and the high jumper, had the fastest 30 over the likes of 400 meter national champion Noah Williams, 100 and 200 meter national champion Terrence Laird. He had, who was known for his the start, he had the fastest 30?
Javon had the fastest 30 on that team. It was crazy. It was like the little timer. It was like FAT timing, where you put your hand on a thing, and when when your hand moves, the clock starts. Now, my little argument, because I got second, so my little argument was like, bro, your arms are just long, so he was able to kind of cheat the system. But nah, man, like I said, he's just a freak athlete. For him to do those things and then come over with the sprints, now, I don't know if he want to get this 400 smoke, but to come over with the sprints and be able to do that, like, this was in November of that year, I remember, and I just had to tip, like, yo, this kid's a freak. This dude's, he's nice.
That's wild. I would, if you were to tell me that, I still don't believe it. That's crazy. You telling me it, you were there. That's crazy. That's nuts. Fastest as a high jump, long jump guy. Well, yeah. No long jump, but still, damn, crazy speed.
He's special, man.
So we had a couple. So there's a lot of different content today. So those that are listening, we were trying to figure out how we go about this. There are so many crazy performances this weekend. So we're trying to capture them all. Next one, go down to the high school level. So over this weekend, we saw 17-year-old high schooler Christian Miller break the United States U20 100-meter record with a time of 9.93 meters. Christian Miller, who is going to be going to Georgia, his personal best was 10.08 that he ran at USA Championships last year. And he broke what was Trayvon Bermell's U20 record, which was, I think, 9.99, something like that. So, Noah, what's that's crazy. 9.93. What are these kids eating nowadays that's helping them run these insane times?
These kids are incredible, man. I think training has to have gotten better at the high school level somewhere along the late 2010s, leading into this decade now. But dude, this kid that's crazy. And I run to that track every day. Like, the track he did that at in Claremont, Florida, like, I run to that track every day. Like, that's really not a fast track, considered to be a fast. It's a track that we beat up on every day of the year, you know. Like, they don't really resurface it. That is special for him to do that. Looking forward, is he a contender to make the team? Like, where are we going with this? You know, like, he beat some guys that are going to be on USA's relay team at World Relays in a couple weeks. So, you know, it's early. A lot of the pros aren't in true form, but, like, dude, I don't think he's ran that many times this year.
Yeah. No, like, a nine, like, if you're running a 9.9, like, that, like, you're in that team, like, contention at bare minimum to make a final. Like, and if you win a final, then, you know, anything can happen. You know, anything can happen if you're making it to that final. And so, yeah, I mean, right now it's definitely like, yo, you're on watch. Like, we got to see what's going to happen with you later. I think what gets a lot of the high school athlete, because, I mean, what we saw last year, was it Mia Brahe Peterson on the women's side who made the final? I think she got like sixth or seventh, something like that. It was a high school junior, by the way, which is crazy. So, yeah, I think, like, he could do it. What happens, I feel, a lot of these high schools, once you get to those big U.S. championships, like, hey, you may not be used to running three or four rounds, you know, and then now you're also going up against, hey, I'm not just running against, Joe from my biology class. Like, you're going up against Christian Coleman, Fred Curley, Trayvon Bermell, you know, it's Noah Lyles. It's a little different on that starting line when you line up against them, but, like, yeah, there's some dogs right now that are in that U20. Like, you got Arian Knighton, Letsili Tobogo, Christian Miller now. Like, there's some – this next generation of the hundreds looking ridiculous.
It's looking crazy. And I haven't heard much from Asama Singa this year. I believe he's at A&M. I don't know if he's suspended. I don't know the status on what he has going on. But he's just another name that I would throw into that pot because he's also run sub-10. I think it was a legal wind.
Yeah. Yeah, he had the suspension from, or it was a provisional suspension from WADA, which, like, technically you can still run in the NCAA, but I haven't seen him run, or I think you can still run. I don't really know. I'm pretty sure he can still run, but I haven't seen him run. I think he's on the roster. Like, if you go to Texas A&M's thing, I think he's on, like, he's there. But like you said, I haven't seen him run. I guess they're trying to figure out this whole like what's going on there. But yeah, like he's the dog too. So it's like, yeah, these U20s are just putting up crazy. You got Quincy out of Bullis, who's doing crazy, a sophomore doing crazy stuff, you know, in the 800 and the 400 and everything. And so it's like, man, it's crazy. So, and then another guy in the SEC. I know you probably would have loved to see a different school there in the SEC other than Georgia, maybe in LSU, but still it's going to be good.
It's going to be good, man. When I first saw that, you know, UGA committed, I didn't like that, but you know, this is the best decision for him, you know, but 993, man, that's special. So congrats to him if he sees this.
100%. Nah, that was great. That was great. And so up next, so other side of things. So we had, we were talking about a really fast time, 993. We saw two big names of the sport, Coleman versus Curley, going up against each other in China. Christian Coleman getting the win in a 10.13. Fred Curley coming in second with a 10.17. It was a bit of a different race. So usually you see, you know, Coleman's known for his fast start and then he gets out on you and then you may fall off a little bit towards the end. Fred Curley, opposite, slower start, can really build up towards the end. Coleman didn't have that signature fast start that we're used to seeing. And so while I was watching, it was kind of like, all right, he's going to lose. This isn't going to be good. He's going to fall behind. Didn't happen. Like, he was still able to hold off Fred and get the win. So, like, what are your thoughts? Like, you're seeing Coleman win in a way that he traditionally hasn't won before. You know, what's that mean for him and, you know, going forward here?
I think that was huge. Like, I don't want to understate how big I think that is for Christian. From the angle that I saw, like the typical like broadcasting angle, it looked like Fred actually got out a touch in front of Christian, or maybe like another guy in the field. And I have seen that less than two or three times in my life, tracking all the way back to his collegiate days. And like you said, he's known to kind of get tense and that neck kind of gets stiff the last like 20, 30 meters. But I didn't see that. I was looking for it. I didn't see that. So whatever he's working on is working. He's getting better as an athlete. The time, I didn't look too heavily into the time, but to see him put that together, not kind of panic because we're so used to him getting out early. And I think he had a good interview after the race, which I really liked, but just kind of speaking on, you know, execution and kind of moving forward from here. But yeah, I loved that for him. I think he's getting a lot better. I think he's going to be solidified in that medal contention because he already won the indoor 60, which we kind of expected him to do. But for him to not tie up that last 40 meters there was dope. Happy for him.
Yeah, that was a good race. I wouldn't say it was a technically great race from both of them. I think there were still a lot of things which you can iron out, which it's early in the season, makes sense. You know, that type of stuff's going to happen. But yeah, I think that means a lot for him, especially like, you know, confidence wise and everything. I know it's weird because in every other, like most other big sports, so basketball, football, whatever it is, like the regular season has like meaning for people, like, oh, like this win can help them, like that's going to help them with the rest of the year. We don't hear that a lot in our sport of track. Like for you, like for what do you think means more in these early season races, like the time or the fact that you're winning against a guy that you know you're going to see in these finals, you know, for months to come?
I think it's bigger right now to go and compete and beat people that you're supposed to beat and sometimes beat people that you're not supposed to beat. Going and competing at this stage of the year and like holding form, not doing like crazy outlandish things is really important leading to a championship. That's something that my coach speaks on almost every Wednesday when we get ready to go to a meet. Like, beat the people you're supposed to beat right now. If you have a good day, beat a couple people that you're not supposed to beat. And we'll live with it. We'll live with the time for now. Because you beat people, you compete, those times will come.
Yeah, it's like trust in that training. Like if you're doing everything you got that you're supposed to do, at the end of the day, you're a competitor. You're caring about the wins, the losses, and all that stuff. So, hey, if you're still able to come out and beat them, like that's huge. So, yeah, like that was a good one. Like I think, yeah, obviously the times will come. We'll see them. I'm sure we'll see all of them later on, but It's interesting how there's people in completely different spaces, right now, where you got freaking high schoolers running sub 10, you know, which is just ridiculous, but awesome. Really great competition out in Nairobi as well. We had a men's 200. I feel this was one of the other big headline races that we had this weekend. I saw people talking about a lot. Courtney Lindsey versus Letsile Tobogo. Courtney Lindsey, I guess a rookie right now, first pro year out of, Texas Tech last season. Did the 200, won by thousandths of a second, ran a time of 19.71. Able to beat Letsile Tobogo in that, who also ran a time of 19.71. And has been on like a heater this year. Like he's had some, I think he broke the 300 meter world record, something like that. And so he broke that. He's shown some dominance in the 100, 400. He's been doing a lot of stuff. Like, what's this meaning for a guy first year out of college to get a big win like this at the Diamond League?
I think it's huge. I think Courtney has, he made the team last year, but I think he's kind of solidified himself to this point, at least, that he's going to be a heavy hitter out of the United States, right? Like, the 200, 100 field's already ridiculously stacked. We know that. You got Noah, you got Kenny, you got Christian, you got Fred, you got all these guys, right? And I'm probably forgetting some. Those are just ones that I just rambled off. But Courtney to be running in this type of form this early in his first year training in this type of system is very impressive. Like I said, I think he's put himself into a different conversation now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would have probably said before the season, Courtney Lindsey, I would have had him at you can make a final for the USAs. I think you can make final. I didn't think he was going to be, on making the team contention yet. At least that's where I had him. And then now it's like, all right, I seem to be completely wrong. Like, you are on that. Not only could you make a team, like, you can definitely, like, you're definitely on that. Like, I think you'll play a pivotal part in a potential, be on that 4x1, or maybe you're able to shake some things up. Could he win the 200 for USA? I don't think it's going to be, I don't know if anyone's beaten Noah Lyles, and Kenny Bednarik, showed some other stuff in that 100, which I'm sure we'll get into as well. But he can play a pivotal role right now. And like, first year out of college, like, that's big. 1971, like, that's no joke, especially with your first Diamond League meet, man.
Yeah, he did his thing, man. It's just, it's a tough field. It's a tough field. So, Kenny makes some noise, makes some of the shake, and potentially get on that relay. I like the way he runs that turn, Colin.
I like the way he runs that turn. He was looking good coming off the turn, man.
He was looking good off that turn. So, you never know. Time's always going to tell us, but it's looking very bright for Courtney right now.
What was it like for you? So I guess when it was your first international meet coming off, you finished college. What was that? Were there a lot of nerves for you? Like, what do you think he was feeling? You're going up against this, big field. You're in a place you may not have been before. What do you think that was like for him?
I think if I had to relate some of my emotions to him, I think he probably felt like a motivation or drive to kind of let the world know, like, I'm Courtney Lindsey, I'm not from here. Y'all might know me, but I'm going to make my statement here. I don't think as much as like a nervy, like, oh my gosh, like, I've never been, like, this is weird, foreign territory. I think it's more of a, all right, let me go show these people. Like, let me show the world my talent. Let me show the world what I've been working on. And I think he spoke on it. It might have been after Tom Jones when they interviewed him. Like, so I'm just glad I could show people what I've been working on. And I was glad he said that because, it kind of shows that he's not, he thinks he deserves and belongs in this space, and he deserves to be doing these things. It's not a surprise to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree, because I think a lot of people, myself included, I was like, yo, the winner here is obviously going to be Letsile Tobogo. I was like, I was kind of writing him off, and it's like, nah, I'm here. Like I belong to be where I'm at. And so I was like, all right, yeah, like, you weren't, like, you had an excellent NCAA career. It's not just ending there. Like, it's continuing. So yeah, he's going to be a problem. I think I'll be, excited to see where he continues throughout the rest of this this season, getting ready for USAs, but he'll be someone to look out for sure. On a similar note, at that same meet in the 100, we had, I think it was the world lead with Kenny Bednarik in Kenya. He dropped a 9.9. Oh, well, it was 0.22. Okay, so it was a little outside the win legal. I forgot. So it's 2.2. So just outside of it. But 9.91 from Kenny Bednarik, who ends up getting the win. Emmanuel Matadi second with 9.99. And then the person who was probably the hometown favorite, Fernand Omanyala, coming in fifth with a 10.03 in Kenya. And it was interesting. He had a what looked like a false start, but they let him run anyway. And so it was, that's another big one for Bednarik. I feel like he's the one that just gets, he's been getting written off like his entire career. No one's counting on him making it. And, you know, to open up early like this, like, I feel like it'd be dangerous, man.
Definitely could be dangerous. I don't think Kenny's ran this fast this early before, which is a very promising sign for him. Him and Noah, I was at that Tom Jones meet when him and Noah ran that 100 head-to-head, and they both ran 10 flat, 10.00. I think Noah won by thousandths of a second, but Kenny, man, he gets written off. I think it's maybe something to do with his character. He's super quiet, chill guy. I know he's been pushing a lot of content on social media, but, you know, wish the best for Kenny, too. Like, dude, there's so many good guys in this field running incredible things. Like, 991's nothing to scoff at, especially it's April, like, you know. So Kenny's a heavy hitter, man. Let's see, you know, where he ends up, but that's an impressive time this early in the year.
Yeah, I know a lot of these guys are trying to, especially putting their names in the hat for the that 4x1 and trying to, you know, be in there, because I know I see all over. So I know we're getting Grant Holloway saying he's like, yo, I need to be in that. You know, Kenny Bednarik, he needs to be in that. Arian Knighton saying he needs to be in that. Can only be four spaces, and I got like eight people that want to be on it. So it's like, yo, somebody's getting left. A couple people getting left out. Who's it gonna be? But he's really putting up a good reason why. Like, yeah, he's been like Mr. Consistent. Like he runs fast. Often, like, you're not going to see a lot of just like, oh, this is a one-off. Like, it's very consistent with where he's running, and that's what's like so impressive, that it's not just a you know, a one-time thing. It's a consistent type deal.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, so it should be, his talent is his work, man, for sure.
Impressive, very impressive. And so a lot of stuff that happened this previous weekend. Coming up, we have the Penn Relays. So I'll be actually heading on down to Penn Relays, which is really great. That should be fun. So I know we have a couple interviews and things we're going to be doing, so keep an eye out there. I know that I'll be doing a few with a couple big name sprinters in the collegiate world, so keep an eye out for an episode there. Then there's, I'm sure we'll have some high schoolers and all that'll be coming through. You ever compete at Penn Relays?
Yeah, I ran there in 2015, I think. Would have been my freshman year of high school.
Nice. Cool. How'd you do that?
I ran a 4x4 and a 4x1.
Oh, snap. Yeah. We might have ran against each other, man. I was also in 2015, 4x4, 4x1, pole vault. So we might have been there.
Could have been, man. We could have been right lined up. Wouldn't even know, man. In heat 107 of 195.
Bro, can you share a little info on that, of just like, for those that don't know the craziness of Penn Relays, like, what is it? Like, because I think not a lot of people know how insane it is, especially before you're getting competing there.
Yeah, before I bash it, it is a beautiful event. Amazing cultural clash of Americans, Caribbeans, all people from all over the place, collegiates, high school, pros. Awesome event, like, awesome event. If you haven't been, go check it out as a fan. Now, as an athlete, like a high school athlete, you probably have – maybe like north of 100 schools enter in like each.
Oh, event. More than that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. I know what I'm tripping. Like maybe like 200-300 schools, like something crazy like that. And the warm up area, I think there's like a lot of area to warm up. But when you go to like check in and you're in that corral, like it's just down the block, out the stadium, just waiting in line for north of 45 minutes.
standing, just standing there waiting for each heat to go and go and go and go and go. And then finally you get to run on the track. It's like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore, man. Like, it was a crazy atmosphere.
It's nuts. Like, put in, so since I'm from Philly, I ran in a couple times in middle school, high school, college, a few times. And so it is, you're warming up. So for us, at least in high school, it might have been a little different, like, because in college, I was just pole vaulting. I wasn't sprinting there. So I don't know what it was like in, for college athletes that are warming up. But we had to actually warm up on the sidewalk in the streets of Philadelphia. We were practicing 4x1 handoff sticks running around corners of buildings. And so it's just like, what are we doing here? And then you get, like you said, then you get in line. And so you're done warming up. You're then in line waiting for your actual race to start with probably about 30 other heats ahead of you. And you're just standing in the cold because it's outside. And you're standing in the cold because it's always raining and cold on Penn relays. Don't matter when it is. 100% of the time, it's going to be cold. And then you go there. If you're the starter, they don't have blocks. So you're just on the track. And then they just sprint, put you out there and go. It's just go. And then the next school's up. There's 5 seconds in between. It's nuts. It's ridiculous. So much fun to watch and everything. But yeah, as an athlete, you're not going to run a fast time if you're going to Penn. You're just going there so you can say, hey, I went to this event. But
it's kind of one of those bucket list track and field things that did you really run track if you didn't go there? You know, like one of those kind of things.
Yeah. Especially if you ran track in high school in the Northeast, like you gotta go.
Absolutely. That's your credibility card to get in the room.
Oh yeah. And so actually we had a segment that you wanted to introduce and with stories from the track. So why don't you share a little bit on what this new segment will be? That actually jogged a memory for me as well that I got. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah, stories from the track, man. So we are both heavily involved with the sport. You know, I'm still an athlete myself. Colin covers the sport, was an athlete in the sport. So we're constantly on the track, around other people on the track. And you know, this is just an opportunity for us to kind of share experiences, cool stories with another athlete or anything like that. You know, just that's our time to kind of express it. So to start it off, I wanted to share a story of mine when I first signed my pro deal and moved to Florida. And I got to meet Noah Lyles for the first time, right? So this was 2022, would have been January of 2022, right? And for just getting acclimated, just finding my apartment, finding everything, getting my feet wet. And we were in the gym one day and I'm walking in with Noah. I'm just talking to Noah, kind of picking his brain. I like to pick people's brain, especially somebody of that nature. And I'm talking to Noah like, hey, bro, like, what do you think you could run in a 400? Because, you know, that's my event. And he was like, I'm not worried about the 400. They got to pay me a milli to hop in that event. I'm like, okay, I mean, yeah, that's smooth, bro. He's like, yeah, you know, when you're the show pony of the sport, man, you got to do what you got to do when you want to do it. I'm like, I'm like, yo, I didn't know Noah was like you. Like I said, this is like one of my first conversations with bro ever. And I'm like, damn, like, and he just said it and walked off like casual. I'm like, damn, like, he kind of cocky, but like, he right. So he really not that cocky for real. Like, it was like I had to tip my cap to him because I'm like, bro, like, you get it because he understood his value and stuff. But definitely a nice introduction for me to meet Noah for the first time. Like, okay, I get it. I see why he's in this spot. Yeah.
Yeah. And then now he's trying to do the 4x4. So still back in the realm a little bit. So
kind of, right? Kind of crazy how that comes. I got to bring it back up to him now. For sure.
Yeah. See, like, hey, what's the thoughts now that you're doing the 4x4? See if that thought changes. Nah, yeah. That's great. First time, I'd be like, all right. Nice to meet you too, man.
Yeah, man. It was cool. It was all respect. It was all love. But, you know, it was just cool. He was popping his, letting his shoulders drop a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so that actually, I got a story. So this is, this reminds me from when we were talking Penn relays a little bit. And so I was being in Philadelphia. So a lot of people, when they go through, they'll like, this is like an overnight thing. So a lot of people are coming from Maryland, New York, Virginia, you got Jamaica, you know, people coming from all over the place. For us, it wasn't as like a big deal as much because we're in the city. And so for those that don't know, every single school in the Philadelphia area, like you have an opportunity to get in. Like they have Philadelphia divisions. So not every school in Philadelphia gets in, but like we have like every school in Philadelphia like has an opportunity to get in. So a lot of people are going through. So it's not like as huge of a deal as this for some people, but still like my favorite meet that I've ever competed in. Like I have all my bibs and like that's my favorite bib that I got. Like I love it for sure. But so what we would do, we actually had to take the train into the meet. So we didn't actually like drive or do whatever. We took the train in. And so for most people, 99% of the people on the team, it's completely fine. It's not an issue. As a reminder, even though Noah was talking trash on it, I am a pole vaulter. For me, I had to take these giant poles, like so 14, 15 feet on the train and then take them into Philadelphia and then bring them to the meet. That is a very difficult task to do. And so like we're trying to like navigate these train. And so we got there was like a completely full like train cab, like when we're going up. And so we actually like made the train late to its next stop because we're trying to like maneuver and get these poles in. So like the conductor had to come out like, yo, what are you guys doing? Like we can't close the door because like you're trying to get the pole in to these cabs and there's tons of people in there. We're like, sorry, we're going to pin relays. We're trying to figure it out. And he's just like, let's go. So like we made the train probably an extra like 5-10 minutes late. And then so we eventually get it out. And so now we're going through the entire city of Philadelphia with these giant poles, just walking through, looking like absolute imbecile. And so we're walking through. And the way that we had to get the poles actually in was like up this spiral like staircase. And so it's like we had to now maneuver them vertically and like hold them and move them around and then put them onto the track. And it was just like the worst experience of all time. Just like, damn, this is why I hate traveling with poles. I know there's plenty of stories of people traveling with poles. I can get into other ones, but yeah, like just the hecticness of Penn Relay. There's so much. There's so many people around. But it's tough. It's a tough one for sure.
Sounds like a horror story, man. Those poles are just, it's a liability, bro.
Liability, ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure y'all know because at Akron, y'all are like one of the primary places for pole vault. So I'm sure like were you there when Matt Ludwig was there? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like, so you had like one of the greatest collegiate pole vaulters of all time, like going through. Yeah. So I'm sure there's plenty of times like around where they had a similar thing for y'all.
Yeah. I helped them many of times carry that thing through the airports and wherever we were headed. Yeah.
Yeah, get them on the buses and all that stuff. No, yeah.
On a bus. I was never on a bus where you could put like both feet on the ground on the bus. Cause you know, you put the poles like on the floor of the bus. So you always got to like kind of maneuver your feet or something because the poles were always on the bus. I remember that too.
Yeah, nah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But awesome stories from the track. So tune in next week. We'll have another good story for y'all, hear what's going on in the track world. So as we mentioned, coming up, there's the Penn Relays. Are there any other major meets this weekend? I don't think Diamond League's this upcoming weekend. Any other ones that we're missing that are popping up?
Is LA Grand Prix this upcoming weekend? Or is it
next week? I think it's the weekend after. I think it's May, the first weekend of May.
May, okay. So then
LA Grand Prix. That's the weekend after. I saw Sydney McLaughlin is running in I think the open 400 there, which is gonna be good. She was doing the four by one this past weekend, which was interesting. So I think LA Grand Prix, that's gonna be up in probably 2 weeks. What's the next Diamond League meet? I'm not too sure. I have to go and take a look, but we got a lot of good stuff that's popping up.
Yeah, it's coming, man. It's coming. I think collegiates are gearing up for their conference meet. It should be like a week, not this weekend, but the one afterwards or something.
Yeah. So collegians will get that, and so I'm sure when we get into the conference championship talk, we'll have to see who's going to end up winning this thing because I think there's a lot of. We got a lot of great predictions for here, so get ready for the prediction show. That's going to be a good one. But Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening to the first episode of Track World News Podcast. We're the first one back with Noah in the helm. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate you taking the time and out of your busy days to enjoy this show. Hopefully you liked it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything you'd like for us to cover, please let us know in the comments. Reach out on Instagram, any of that. Love to answer anything that you may have. Noah, any other words for the people before we sign off?
Appreciate y'all checking in, man. Stay tuned. God bless, as always.
All right. See y'all. Peace.